T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 11 minutes after 4 o'clock. Jordana Green here. Governor Tim Pawlenty sitting next to me. Dan Cook at the helm. Glad you got here safely because we got some weather coming in.
Sounds like it.
A little bit of weather coming in. Okay, I mean, up north, it's a little bit worse. So if you're driving, I want you to be very, very careful. But the National Weather Service, you just heard Adam talk about it. Just a reminder, if you're just tuning in. Tornado warning for southeastern Morrison County in central Minnesota. That's till 4:30. And again, a tornado warning for Kennebec County, central Minnesota, also until 4:30. So just about, Yeah, those are warnings. It's just for like another 18 minutes. And also, of course, until 10 o'clock tonight, the entire Twin Cities area is under a tornado watch. Now, remember, that's just a watch. So that means we're just watching it. So
this is in the metro. You look out the window, you see it's humid. It's getting a little soupy, a little bit of wind. And you think, are we going to get whacked tonight? Or should I be? What should does this mean for my plans? And of course, if you're driving up north, which I'll be doing a little later, right after this show, if you're heading through Kennebec or Morrison County or through those areas or to those areas, be extra alert and stay tuned because we'll keep updating as it goes along.
And that's why they have to listen to WCCO radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're in your car and you're driving up north and you're listening to WCCO radio. And that's then the good neighbors call us from up there and they tell us what's going on. So on your way, Governor, you might have to call in to one of the later shows.
Yeah, and this could give me an excuse for more stops because, there's McDonald's meats and then there's, of course, all sorts of goodies along the way.
That's treats for Mary. She's already up there. Absolutely. So we talked a little bit where we mentioned that there's such a thing as superstar cities and sort of a not an equity of those that have recovered from the recession. I know this is an article you pulled from, was it Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, the Reuters came out with this, and it builds on a lot of stuff that I like to think about the future of work. And there's a lot of literature and research being done and thinking being done, not about today, but in the future when you have artificial intelligence, when you have increasing automation, when you have robots, so artificial
intelligence
and self-driving cars, what does the future of work look like? And one part of that is geographic concentration of work. And there's some concerning data out, and this Reuters article underscores it. It was written by a reporter named Howard Schneider. And he calls them superstar cities. Mm-hmm. And he says, one of his sources says, there's a major fault line in the country developing between superstar cities which have pulled far away, this is according to an MIT economist, and that 40% of the job growth has occurred in just 20 cities since the crash. And by the way, this crash, had the unfortunate privilege of being in office during the worst economic downturn nationally since 1938. My gosh, that was.
So when did you say it started? 2006?
Well, I think the recession, I think, started in 2007.
Okay.
And then maybe the recovery, depending on which statistics you look at, 2011. But it was a huge.
It was just me who got laid off in 2006,
huge.
So I remember that.
Biggest economic downturn since 1938. But anyhow, since then, the job growth, 40% of the job growth has occurred in just 20 cities. And he calls these superstar cities. But it also builds on another statistic that I'll share. And that is, there's another study that indicated that something approaching two-thirds of all the economic growth in the country, the GDP growth in the United States of America, occurred in just 20 or so metropolitan areas. And so think about Seattle, San Francisco, San Diego, Austin, Texas, Miami, Nashville, Boston, New York, Chicago. Fortunately, ding, 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 the Twin Cities, greater metropolitan area, we're in. We're not at the lead of this, but we're at least in. And so you start to think about inequality, not just in terms of dollars, but in terms of place and in terms of opportunity, in terms of infrastructure. And what are the magnetic qualities of these places that's drawing a disproportionate amount of the money, the people, the talent, the innovation, and the like? And it has enormous consequences for demographics, for where people choose to live or not live, for politics. You know, a lot of those cities I just mentioned, with a couple of exceptions, are deeply blue places, you know. And so I think this is an issue to keep an eye on. But a few of the things that pop out, if you're going to have a city or a superstar area, big or small, it really is correlated to education. And having an institution of workforce development doesn't have to be all college, and also innovation and being able to commercialize that innovation into your local economy. So lots to think about, but worrisome in the sense that too much of the money and power may be concentrated in too few places.
Because then what happens to those left behind?
Exactly.
Then it's I'm not a futurist like the gentleman who wrote the article, but are they ghost towns? And is that what they are then relegated to be? Eventually, will they become abandoned? And, you know, you'll see the tumbleweeds blowing through and everyone will move to the cities because there's just no opportunity. Or can they remain small town Americana with, you know, the one grocery store and, you know, maybe a high speed train runs nearby? I have no idea how they survive except for the internet. And I know we have a problem with broadband internet being in rural areas, but eventually that can be a game changer for some of these small towns.
No question. And, of course, those areas that aren't fully served by high-speed internet need it. And, of course, that has to get done. And it's a shame on all of us for not getting it done sooner and faster. There's some hope in some emerging technology. Certain large technology companies have said we're going to soon, quote-unquote, bathe the globe in Wi-Fi.
Love that.
It'll bathe the globe in
Wi-Fi. It.
And if that's true, and if it's at 5G or higher capacity, then no matter where you are, you'll be able to access via satellite links and enabling technology to have access to high-speed internet or internet-equivalent capabilities.
Think how that would create equity for everyone globally. I mean, there wouldn't be a place where you couldn't have access to information, to commerce.
Yeah.
Because you could be living in small town Nowheresville, USA, and create a website of things that people want to buy. You don't have to house your goods there. You find somewhere else to house them. You know, if you're talking about packaged goods, not necessarily.
And if the globe is bathed in Wi-Fi, what does that mean for companies that provide cellular service?
Well, there you go. I say my bill is going down. My bill is going down. But who knows? They'll find a way to charge me for something else.
I'm sure.
I'll get charged a satellite fee or a bathing fee or whatever they want to. They'll be a way to bilk us.
A Wi-Fi.
Yeah, right. They'll absolutely be a way to bilk us. But this is fascinating. And the fact that Minneapolis-St. Paul is on the list. Yes, it's positive for us, but I will tell you, sir, I picked up my son at summer camp, which is in northern Wisconsin, and we drove through some small towns where he was looking out and he goes, wow, Mom, I wonder what it's like to live here. And there were a lot of boarded up windows on the one or two main streets, you know, that we drove through. And I see what you're saying in action.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and think of Minnesota as a microcosm. So you think of the Twin Cities, of course, but then you have the regional centers of Rochester, places like Marshall, St. Cloud, Moorhead, Duluth,
Mankato.
Many others, Mankato. So you have, I forget the exact statistic, but something like 85% of all Minnesotans either live in the 7 or 11 county metropolitan area and those regional centers, or live within just 10 or 15 minutes of an interstate freeway. So there is already, even in Minnesota, this concentration
of
demographically.
But also the cities that you mentioned all have a place of higher learning.
Yes.
They all have an offshoot of a university or their own university, some kind of higher learning.
Or could be even a community college or technical college, which
have
offered great career choices for many as well.
And then who knows, maybe we can reverse engineer that. If you go out to rural Minnesota, put a university and build a city around it. I mean, we've done that with Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, not university, but you know what I mean? We've created cities.
Underscores again, though, the high correlation between wage inequality and education inequality. Mm-hmm. And it's not an exact correlation, but it explains a big chunk of wage inequality.
Yeah. Fascinating. You saw it at Reuters. We will take a call before we head out. Neil's in St. Paul. Neil, you want to jump in on the conversation here, sir?
Yeah, I think this is nothing about nothing. I think this has been going on for since the creation of the great United States. Some cities will grow, some will prosper. And it's like comparing someone who goes to school for a year after high school or someone who's got a graduate degree. The person with a graduate degree is going to make more money. And the cities that have paid the price and have developed and went that extra mile to promote their city and just happened to grow, you know, that's just the way things are going to always be. It's not this decline of this city, and he says that the decline in this other city is suffering. Well, that's not logical thinking. Some cities will grow and some won't. Not everybody can grow at the same time. It's just economic prosperity happens, you know, it happens. And it's not somebody's going to lose out. It's just the way life happens. And it's just, you know, the way things are. You can't say, well, these people are suffering. Well, not every city can grow. It's kind of gobbledygook, if you ask me.
Well, Neil actually brings up something that you and I didn't get a chance to talk about, the example of, I believe it was Nashville, where they spent $600 million on a new convention center. And this was it two a decade ago? Like in the during the recession. And yet, it's paid off because they're one of those superstar cities. So, like Neil said, if you invest and you not, I mean, not only marketing, but maybe it is a little marketing. Come to our city. Look at all these amazing things we have. They're trying to attract business. And it certainly paid off for Nashville. And that is something small town Americana certainly doesn't really do, except maybe Branson.
Yeah. Well, and you think about, I think the caller's, Neil's point is well taken in the sense that people are always going to vote with their feet. And there's going to be in-state and in-country migration where opportunity goes. But when you have all the taxpayers of Minnesota supporting an institution like the University of Minnesota, and as the University of Minnesota has opportunities to commercialize or to provide access to education, either virtually or physically, you know, is it fair to say that all of the state should have some reasonable access to that because all the state paid in? And there are, to your point, there are cities across Minnesota that said, look, we have to mimic some of this at a smaller scale or die.
That's right.
And there's some
success
stories that are stabilizing, and then there's some that are dying.
That's right.
And it relates in part to amenities and education and other things. But he does make a fair point. It's not. It's always happened. It's always going to happen.
That's true.
But at least being aware of it and trying to make sure that to the extent we're using public dollars to distribute opportunity, we need to be thinking about is it being distributed fairly.
Fair enough. It's also 4:22. When we return, so this guy goes to a bachelor party. It's not a joke. This is a question for you, and I want you to call in and help us answer it because the governor and I have some thoughts about this one. Guy goes to a bachelor party. The bachelor is marrying the guy's sister. The bachelor starts showing around some nudie pictures some girl sent him. What should the brother of the bride-to-be do? 651-989-9226. We'll take your calls next. This is a good one, Governor. Are you ready?
I suppose.
I don't...
If I must.
You must, because this is kind of funny. And our phone number is 651-989-9226. Dear Abby, my sister-in-law, June, is being married soon. I'll be the matron of honor. And my husband, Jake, June's brother, will be a groomsman for her fiancé, Jimmy. Not only is Jake going to be a groomsman, he's also supposed to officiate. Well, Jake went to Jimmy's bachelor party a couple of weeks ago. And Jimmy, the groom, was showing naked pictures of a girl from work. The girl had texted him the naked pictures of herself and Jimmy. The bachelor was showing them around. He asked my husband, the groom-to-be, asked her husband if he should tell June about it before the wedding or after. My husband said he should tell her right away. Should my husband tell June or leave it up to Jimmy, who may or may not do it? We don't know what his plans or anything are with the girl who sent the pictures. Signed, looking for the right thing to do. So, do you tell the bride-to-be about the nudie pictures that her groom was showing around, or do you wait for the groom to do the right thing? Governor, you're up.
Well, I would say give the groom a very brief chance to do the right thing, but when it comes to siblings and family, in my family, you have the back of your brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And so I would never not tell my sister or brother if I knew something like this, because they come first, and I would throw the future, you know, brother-in-law to under the bus.
Yeah. So you say, okay, when you sober up from the bachelor party, you got like 12 hours, or when you wake up, tell her, because if not, I'm gonna.
Yeah, so we got. Here's how you know she's gonna know.
Yeah.
And we can do it one of two ways.
Yeah.
You can tell her to be a stand-up person and tell her, and come clean, or I will, and I'm gonna do it tomorrow morning.
Fair enough.
But at the end of the day, you got to have your brother or sister's back.
And you don't want them marrying some person if something's going on. Who knows? Maybe it was just some crazy girl at work who sent the nudie pictures because she thought it was funny or inappropriate or whatever. And maybe there's nothing happening. But the fact that he was showing them around.
This is what family's for. If you can't trust your family and count on them ultimately, because, you know, those at the end of the day, those are really the few people you can trust.
It's questionable. 651-989-9226. Tom is in his car. What do you do, Tom?
I say you just kind of, you know, take it for what it is. I mean, it's a bachelor party. Some chick sends you some nude pictures. You, for all you know, it could have been a joke. It's like you guys were saying. It could have been a joke.
Uh-huh.
It could have been on purpose. Maybe she did this on purpose. Now, if the, I kind of agree with the governor that in the end, you know, you have to get your families back. I don't know. You know, it depends. I would hope the relationship is strong enough so that he could say, you know, honey, this chick at work, she kind of sent me some nude pictures. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a joke or whatever. But I wouldn't look too far into it and before I got a little more background information. As far as the brother-in-law is concerned, it's a really, you're dancing on a tightrope. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, Tom, I appreciate your thoughts. I thank you for the call. So investigate a little bit more because it could be nothing. Okay, I appreciate that. Let's see. Bob is in his car. Bob, jump in here.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
My two cents is why does everybody make sex into such a terrible thing? It's supposed to be a fun thing that most people seem to enjoy. If a guy wants to show new pictures to his friends, the grooms or whatever, people know what goes on, so what's the problem?
So you wouldn't be concerned if your wife was showing nude pictures of another guy at the Tupperware party?
If she wants to do that, that's fine with me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Good call, Bob. I would be a little concerned about that.
I would be concerned, too.
I'd be a little concerned
about
that.
I guess, you know, it's a free country. And,
I love that Bob is so free about it.
To each his own, but at least in my orbit, I would prefer my spouse or future, like my only spouse.
Yes, of course.
I don't want a future spouse. But you just don't want to have that kind of behavior and not know about it.
I love how free Bob is about that. So I think that is fantastic. Let's see. We have one more. All right. Let's sneak in Jenny. Hey, Jenny, jump in here.
Hello there.
Hi, Jenny.
First of all, he should tell that girl to stop sending her new pictures. That is totally inappropriate in a work environment.
Agreed.
And she should be reported to human resources for doing that.
That is
unacceptable. And second of all, he should be telling his bride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if not, the officiant brother should be telling her.
Jenny, good call. Thank you.
Great point.
So, Dan, from now on, stop with the nude pictures, okay? Because I'm going to have to report you to HR.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, Jenny's right on all counts. But, yeah, I see. I was trying to put myself in this position. Like,
in today's world, who sends nude pictures to a coworker?
I mean,
why don't you just put sue me on your forehead?
Right?
Right.
And I will lose my job or fire me.
Right.
You know? And then... If you're married or whatever, like if somebody sent that to me, and please don't, if you know my cell phone number, I would show to my husband and be like, look at this lunacy. You know, I mean, right there, I'd be like, can you believe this is happening? Blocking them, just a heads up on that. Like it just wouldn't be a thing.
Exactly.
So it's also 4:32. Oh, we're going to have some fun when we get back because we're going way beyond the headlines. Why is a store in Mexico saying you should buy condoms for your secretary? Find out next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Speaking of that, we'll be talking to Henry at 5:50. Governor, I'll be talking to him. He'll be over at Target Field.
Well, we have some things beyond the headlines, and I guess the first one I'll bring up is this 11-foot alligator breaks into a Clearwater home because, according to the resident, it's mating season. He sees his reflection in the glass and goes into a frenzy, breaks through the glass, gets in the house, busts up everything. And the owner, 77-year-old Mary Wishhusen, files a claim for insurance.
Of course.
And she said, well, that alligator may have been in a hurry to get in my house, but the insurance company wasn't. She just heard, even though it happened in May, she just heard back they're not covering the claim because of an exclusion for gators. So,
come on.
Yeah, I know. Do you think an 11-foot alligator breaks into your house? You think you'd get some relief?
I bet the Canopy Group would insure her.
We should call them.
I should call them for her. That's
They'd probably
crazy.
Only cover it in Minnesota because there'd be no actual claims.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, they might be in Cedar Lake. Well, isn't that funny, though? The gator's in mating and he sees himself in the glass. He must have really been enamored with himself.
Very nice.
That's hilarious. Well, in Mexico, the Circle K stores, I don't think we have Circle K in Minnesota, but I know we have them in the U.S. The convenience store chain has a special gift for Secretary's Day. Their sign says, Happy Day to all the secretaries. Celebrate them with the proper way with this executive combo. You know what's in the executive combo? A bottle of wine, a chocolate bar, and a new 3-pack of condoms. That's it. It's the executive combo. That's what the ad reads. If you know what I mean, it says at the end of the ad. It is a problem. Those words are placed next to a cartoon image of a woman's leg and a wink emoji. If Mexico could be any more inappropriate, I would call HR on them.
Yes. And you think there's Circle K's in the U.S., aren't there?
Yes.
You think Circle K would be shutting
say
that down
no,
as, you
know, that's absolutely right.
As I fast mean, that's as possible.
A Mexican legislator took, of course, the ad as sexist and misogynistic and very stereotypical, but I actually thought it was pretty hilarious.
Mm. Well, I've got one for you here with liquid robots. You know, so you remember the Terminator?
Oh, yeah.
And these shape-shifting, form-shaping mm-hmm. robots. Well, a team led by material scientist Professor Thomas Russell from the University of Massachusetts has spent 7 years developing a method to magnetize metallic fluids, making it possible to control their shapes with magnets.
So they can come kill us all?
They're going to apply robotic technology to liquids that can magnetize and take on any shape and form. And by the way, it can go from magnetic form to inert form. So it can go to like a puddle of fluid. And then right when you're least expecting it, arise into like a robotic machine.
It's like the Terminator.
It is exactly like the Terminator, but they've developed the technology.
So, I mean, are they going to use it for anything useful or is it just like a party trick?
Well,
hopefully just a party trick before
they kill
us. I think
they're going to use it for lots of things, but I'm not sure it's all going to be good.
All right. So an inappropriately timed text really can get you in trouble. Under normal circumstances, a Rhode Island woman would have been very pleased to receive a text from her boyfriend saying how much fun he had, if you know what I mean, wink, wink, Mexico, the night before. However, at the same time, the text from her boyfriend, Chris, arrived, her phone was in the hands of an immigration agent trying to determine whether her marriage to another man was genuine. Yeah. She gave the agent the phone to show texts as evidence that the relationship with her husband was real. But when the text from her boyfriend came in, she eventually admitted her marriage was a sham. She was convicted Thursday of lying to immigration officials and providing false immigration documents. And I believe she will. Oh, she faces a 5-year prison charge when she is sentenced.
Can good example of wrong place, wrong time.
Oh, my gosh.
Bad
and
idea.
Don't lie.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody, of course, has heard of El Chapo, otherwise known as Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, who was recently sentenced in an American court to murder, mm-hmm. drug, money laundering related charges. He's going to prison for life in
it's
the Supermax case.
Are
super,
bad
super
dude.
Bad
murder,
dude.
Torture, a bad dude.
But apparently, Orange is the New Black after all, because his relatives are starting a new El Chapo clothing line,
come
which
on.
Is launching.
Come on.
It is. I'm not kidding
come
you.
Come on.
I am not kidding you.
It was like bad enough
his
Cheetos
daughter,
had their own line. Now,
yeah.
now a drug lord has
exactly.
his own line.
Exactly. His daughter and his wife have started this thing, and it's going to be, it's apparently becoming a veritable fashion craze in Mexico.
They're pricey, aren't they?
They are pricey.
I thought I saw one of the t-shirts. It was like $35 or something like that.
I don't think this is going to fit into the average household
oh
budget
gosh.
Down. But
well, I guess all the drug money.
But you can talk about glamorizing a bad, bad dude.
And don't his daughter and his stepdaughter and his wife have enough money?
You
I mean, right?
So.
They have all the whatever money didn't get seized is what they have. And now they're trying to capitalize on a murderer
yeah.
and a torturer.
Sad. As Trump would say, sad.
Sad. Sad. Sad.
Sad.
It's also 4:45. We want to leave enough time for Mike Max. So I got to tell you that is a Wixon Jewelers time check. Visit the custom jewelry experts at Wixon Jewelers for exquisite jewelry that's handcrafted in-house and designed exclusively for you. We are watching the weather for you here at WCCO Radio. Governor Tim Pawlenty sitting next to me. I'm Jordana Green. Mike Max was at the Twins this morning, but you're back at TV now, right, sir?
Yeah, actually this afternoon. Just got back.
Oh, great.
What are you talking about? He just woke up from his nap.
Yeah. Right? Mike Max never rests. He
I got to get a donut here. I'm getting hungry. Yeah.
You know what? I saw the video, that the package that you did for television.
Oh, last night.
Oh, when she surprised her boys, a soldier
yeah.
surprised her boys at the game. I mean, literally like felling. I mean, I was all verklempt in the Edipe. It was amazing. Good
yeah,
job.
It was something. And to see, and she surprised, we did this yesterday. I talked about it to you guys that we had done it. We ran it last night. Sergeant Amy Banoff from the Red Bulls, and she'd surprised her kids and her parents, and so her parents didn't know she was going to be there either, and so it was, and everybody else at the ballpark knew it, you know?
Oh, wow.
It was this well-kept secret. Everybody else knew it was coming, and the PA guy tried to announce that she was there, and he couldn't get through it. He lost it, you know? It was one of those days, so.
If you didn't see it last night, it's on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. We
linked
to the CCO site.
Yep, I appreciate that
very
much.
Thank you for that.
So are we wimps if you don't like the warm weather like this? Like, I saw the Twins, and it's so hot, you go, I don't like this. I'm
just
going
think about it in January, Mike.
That's
it,
what
you'd
I kept
be freezing our rear ends off in January. You'd wish for a day like this, except for the bad weather.
Yes, I was interviewing Martin Perez, not pitching tonight, but one of the pitchers, and I was asking him about adjusting to this hot weather. And of course, stupid interview because he reminded me that he comes from South America, and he pitched for the Texas Rangers for 6 years, and he's used to it being around 100 degrees, you know?
A little chilly for him.
It is chilly for him.
On the Twins, you were talking to us yesterday, and you were like, you know, Babe Ruth predicting a home run. You said, you know, I don't care about the Twins' pitch, I'm paraphrasing, as long as they keep hitting homers.
Yeah.
Of course, they get in trouble last night, and they dig out in a miraculous way with a huge, three-run homer.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, and what does it mean going forward?
Well, you know, and that's the thing is, you don't have to play really well every night if you hit a few home runs. And last night, they didn't play that well. This Mike Fiers from Oakland, man, he pitched really well and competes and all the, and then he leaves the game and Eddie Rosario hits the first pitch out and all of a sudden the game is over. They only had one run before that and it was a wild pitch. But if you hit home runs, you always got a chance. Then they hit two more, C.J. Crone and Mitch Garber. I talked to CJ about it today, just that, you know. And he said, you know, the funny thing is, everybody said, well, if you like them in April or May, wait till it gets humid, because the ball jumps out of the park when it's humid, and they haven't hit that many. He goes, hey, I don't know what it is, but he says, I feel like they're dying more in target field when we hit the ball hard. But that home run, it is just so defining, and it deflates, in this case, Oakland. The A's are a really good team, and Cleveland won again last night. So, but home runs, you don't have to be real good. If you think you got, 40 at-bats last night, if three guys can do that, that's all you need to do to win games.
And game two of against Oakland tonight, how do you see the preview? Who's on the mound?
Jake Odorizzi, who of course was an all-star, but he was on the injured list. Then he came back against Cleveland last week and pitched really well. I think a lot of people were wondering because he hadn't pitched that well before the break and then had the blister, and he came back and pitched really well. If he's got good control, and you can tell Jake, because if he's ahead in the count 0-1, 1-2, that means he's sailing. And when he's missing, that's when he gets in trouble. But if he's good, he'll carry it into the sixth or seventh inning, and they kind of need that to give the bullpen a little bit of a break.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. first pitch, and then, of course, we'll have Henry Lake on at 5:50. He'll be over at the stadium, and then Henry Lake has final pitch after the game because Mike's not on tonight because of the game.
Purple's going to rise again, Mike. Training camp starts next week. Dalvin's healthy, better offensive line. The defense is great as always. Thielen and Diggs, two of the best receivers in the league. What more could we need? Is this a Super Bowl team, or is it all now hinged just on Kirk Cousins because all the other pieces are in place? Is this the year, Mike?
I'm bullish on the Vikings.
All right.
I am. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, the big thing will Cousins be able to, everybody says after the first year he didn't play as well as they would like, then they say, well, yeah, but now he knows the system, so he should be fine in year two. That, you know, Brett Favre came here in the first year. He had no problem learning it. But if their offensive line is good, I'm taking them over the Bears in a big way.
Awesome.
Mike Max.
Great to be with you, too.
You too, my friend. You too. Again, check out that story Mikey did on our returning service member. It's on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page, on the CCO page. Is your boss spying on you through your phone? Probably. Let's talk about it after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.